Welcome to episode 37 of the Upper Elementary Simplified Podcast. Today's episode is the last of our 9-part series all about guided math, and we are going to be discussing spiral review of math skills. Back in episode 8, I created an episode about the benefits of spiral review in the upper elementary classroom. And since spiral review is such a huge component of guided math instruction, I decided that I wanted to re-air that original episode. Even if you have already listened to episode 8, that has been several months ago, so I encourage you to listen to it again, and you may be surprised and pick up something new that you missed the first time. Spiral review is a method of instruction for which teachers incorporate past learning skills into new material and assessment. Or put more simply, spiral review is a way of coming back to skills that have already been taught over and over throughout the school year. Welcome to Upper Elementary Simplified, the podcast where busy and overwhelmed teachers find thoughtful ideas to get students engaged in meaningful learning experiences. Hi, I'm Dana Rodebush, former 5th grade classroom teacher and founder of Teacher Tech Studio. I'm here to share practical tips and strategies that will help you grow as an educator. If you are a tired upper elementary teacher searching for ways to cut down your planning time while boosting student engagement, you are in the right spot. Are you ready? Let's simplify. When teachers bring spiral review into their regular instruction routine, it really does give students the best opportunity possible for the skills to really stick. But how does spiral review work? Well, for example, and again, I'm going to focus more on math here. If you are teaching a unit about whole number multiplication this week, and next week you are introducing whole number division, the following week you can plan an activity that gives students the opportunity to review both whole number multiplication and whole number division, as well as some decimal place value strategies that were covered last month. When you implement a system of spiral assessment and review, meaning you assess students often on past skills and then review or provide intervention to students who are not showing mastery, this allows for 3 specific benefits of student comprehension and their overall experience with that skill. The first benefit of spiral review in the upper elementary classroom is that since students are repeatedly exposed to the target skill on a regular basis, this will make it easier for them to remember that skill in the long term. The likelihood of learning it and forgetting it after the test are less when the skill is often revisited. I was that kid that could memorize anything. I can still memorize very well, but as I got older, I realized that just memorizing content for a test does not translate into learning it. Now, the only thing that I can say that this does not apply to is math fact fluency. I'm a huge proponent of memorizing math facts, but that topic of discussion is for another day. Besides math facts, the more students see, experience in new ways, read about, or actively engage with content, the more likely they will retain that information and actually learn it. I'm interrupting the playback of episode 8 because in the original episode at this point, I discussed how I was going to be presenting about multiplication fact fluency. So since that has already happened, I wanted to take this time to direct you to where you can find that presentation. You can find it in a couple of places. First, I replayed the entire presentation here on the podcast in episode 23, and I also linked the video presentation at teachertechstudio.com/math-conferences. I will link both of those in the show notes for today's episode at upperelementarysimplified.com/episode37. If you haven't yet listened to or watched my presentation about multiplication fact fluency, I highly recommend that you take the time to do so. Now, back to the replay of episode 8. I forgot how to do this. Or did we learn this? Raise your hand if you have ever heard your students ask a question similar to these. How defeating is that as a teacher to hear those questions? Yes, we learned this. We talked about it yesterday. Even though we shouldn't be focused on state-mandated assessments, we are because we have to be. There's so much pressure. One of the flaws of the education system, but again, a topic for another day. But anyway, back to our list of benefits of spiral review. Number two is that spiral review is ideal for continuous end-of-year test prep and helps avoid those dreaded questions in the spring when you are getting your students ready for testing season. When you're reviewing these big concepts throughout the year, it is less overwhelming to you and your students when it comes time to review for the big test. And a bonus is that your students will also be better prepared to enter the next grade level, and so your vertical co-teachers will be very happy with you. Arguably, the most important benefit of spiral review is number three on our list, and that is that students are challenged in the sense that they don't, quote unquote, know exactly what is coming. What I mean by this is, using the example of whole number multiplication and division from earlier, you have just introduced whole number multiplication to your fifth grade students, and you assign a practice activity for them to complete so that you can assess their understanding. One of the questions on the activity is the following. Marv is ordering 58 copies of a book for the students in fifth grade. Each book costs $12. How much will Marv spend on books? So if students have just been given a lesson about whole number multiplication, are they going to really dig deep into this word problem? Or are they just going to look at the numbers and multiply them? Right, they are just going to multiply 58 times 12. On the other hand, if students are working on a spiral review activity and the instructions ask them to solve the problem using multiplication or division, and the following question is also included. Marv spent $696 purchasing copies of a book for the students in fifth grade. Each book costs $12. How many books did Marv buy? They will need to look at each of those word problem scenarios and visualize what they know about Marv and what is being asked to solve the problems. This is something I used to always ask my students when they were learning to problem solve, and that is, what do you know and what are you being asked? So for the first example, and this may be hard to visualize as a listener, Marv is ordering 58 copies of a book for the students in fifth grade. Each book costs $12. How much will Marv spend on books? So the student should be thinking, this problem is telling me that he is going to have 58 groups of $12, so I need to multiply. And then the second example, Marv spent $696 purchasing copies of a book for the students in fifth grade. Each book costs $12. How many books did Marv buy? Your student should be thinking, this problem is telling me that he needs to find out how many groups of 12 are in $696, so I need to divide. Preparing students to think through the procedures they perform in math is crucial to their success in higher grade levels and in their own real-world experiences. And this can be accomplished through using spiral review as an instructional strategy. This 9-part series of Upper Elementary Simplified is sponsored by The Ultimate Guide to Guided Math for Upper Elementary Teachers. This free guide includes 43 pages of practical and useful tips for you to learn about guided math, including how to implement this powerful instructional strategy in your upper elementary classroom. Download your copy of this free resource by heading to teachertechstudio.com/guided math book. That link will be in the show notes. Well, that wraps up our 9-part series about guided math in the upper elementary classroom. I hope that you have enjoyed this series and that you are able to take away some valuable ideas, tips, and inspiration as you are building your guided math program. I would love to invite you to check out my math curriculum because it includes all of the components that I've discussed throughout this series. I'm going to link it in the show notes for this episode at upperelementarysimplified.com/episode37. If you are listening to this in real time, I currently have 5th grade math under construction, but I do have a wait list for 3rd, 4th, and 6th grade that I will also link in the show notes, so you can let me know if you would like to be notified when those grade levels are released. Please do not hesitate to reach out with any questions you may have about the curriculum or guided math in general. I will leave my contact information in the show notes. I'm going to be winding down for the year starting next Tuesday, but I do have a few more episodes for you throughout the month of December, but they are going to be a little bit different than normal. Next week, I will be highlighting some of my favorite Christmas classroom activities. I hope that you will tune in to listen. Have a great week and see you next Tuesday. Thank you so much for listening to this episode of Upper Elementary Simplified. I hope you are able to take away something useful that will help you grow as a teacher. I do have a quick favor to ask before you go. If you are enjoying the podcast, please let me know by leaving me a review. It really does make a difference because reviews impact search results, which helps me to expand my reach to other educators. Plus, I love to read my listeners' comments. Until next time, keep life simple.